This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Baron Davis Show with Dan Levitard and the homie at noon Eastern today. The return of the Baron Davis Show. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, please, at Levitard Show. Why is First Take making everyone wear suits in their home? Yes or no? I don't understand. NBA coaches don't have to wear suits, but Kendrick Perkins and Jay Will and Stephen A. have to go wherever it is that they're going to put suits on, even though they're not in studios. I also want to ask the audience this question, Stugatz, because one of the coolest things that happens around here is when this show, a remora fish on the belly of the great white shark of sports, when this show has something that happens, next thing you know, people are watching a Pacers game and they're rooting for TJ Warren. Like, where you, something you otherwise wouldn't have had any interest in, you suddenly have interest in because Stugatz and I had a conversation a month ago that embarrasses me and that shows that Stugatz is, as always, idiot genius.
What they're really rooting for is for you to be wrong and loud wrong. That's what they're rooting for.
Okay, so before we get to that sound, but just put this on the poll as well, Guillermo, please. At Levitard Show, what do fans of this show enjoy more? Stugatz being right or Dan being wrong? Because this right here is the merging of the things yes. that people who listen to the show like most. Because let's give you some backstory here. I don't know exactly where it started, but I was complaining, I believe, that the Jimmy Butler, TJ Warren feud isn't a real feud because it includes TJ Warren. And Stugatz said something, and then the next thing you know that you're paying attention, next time you're paying attention to TJ Warren, really, next time TJ Warren grabs a basketball in public, yeah. he does exactly what it is that Stugatz said he would do. So he's the first guy to get 50 in the bubble, first of all. That's a 50 burger, okay? Now, keep in mind, it's not just that he got the 50 burger, though. He had four free throws. Four. So, yeah. like, there's. It's not like you can say anything bad about how it is that he got the 50 burger.
He earned his 50 burger, my friend.
That is correct. But also, and this is the part I didn't see coming, he's never had more than four threes in a game. Like, I could not have expected that. I could not have expected that as soon as he got into the bubble, you know what I'm going to do? Make twice as many threes as I've ever made in a game before. So here's the sound, the glorious, this is really the height of what this show does. Stugatz is right, and I am wrong. Glory be to God.
What Dan doesn't realize is TJ Warren on any given night can light you up for 45 points.
That's it? Wait a minute. I need the whole thing, though. I don't need just one sentence. I want the whole back and forth so people can really allow to sink in and marinate what it is that happened there, right? That's insufficient, Billy. What? Right? Do we have better sound than that?
I mean, we can send you more, but it was a long thing. Basically, this is what happened, right? Mike started trying to tell us that this TJ Warren, Jimmy Butler thing was this big deal. And then everyone's like, I don't know about that. And Stugatz backed him up and said that. And then everyone just started bullying Stugatz. And then Stugatz was right.
Yep. Okay, but what is it about the production of this show that doesn't help you understand that I need all of that sound as opposed to just the one sentence?
We need the part where Dan is wrong. I mean,
how is my voice not in there? Like, how does it happen that the sound that we have is that particular sound, which just reiterates everything that we just said, except for the part about me being loud wrong? Okay, I'll wait for an answer. Maybe I'll get one during the break. We didn't even get to the last thing that you were right about, Stugatz. We didn't get to this last week. You wanted to take a victory lap because all of a sudden the NBA is doing testing in the surrounding areas, and you arrive in a place where you get to be right about that one as well.
Yeah, rare is it where we have back-to-back weeks where you and I go head-to-head, toe-to-toe on two topics, and I turn out being right on both. You mock me for saying the sports leagues are hogging all the coronavirus testing, and what they should really do is get out in the community and help them and provide them with the same level and same type of testing that the NBA players are currently getting, which is every day, which is whatever they need to test someone, they test them and they get the results back in like 4 seconds. So now the NBA has started to do that. So I'm right there. And then, of course, I was right on TJ Warren. So, I mean, this has been a big couple of weeks for me, Dano.
And you sound just as bad as you've ever sounded.
I sound terrific. It sounds like victory.
All right, Stugant. But never has victory been quite so cigarette soaked. Like, it's a good point.
Victory cigars. I mean.
and then he takes a victorious gulp of water, right? Because he's so good at his job. How do I lose to this creature? How do I lose a single argument to this ape that just goes, yeah, 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 and then drinks water? Like, I don't understand.
Listen, I don't know. I gave you a couple of mad dogs, victory cigars, and slug my water, and I'm 2-0 the last 2 weeks. I mean,
Stugatz has already changed his mind. He has gone from saying during the pandemic, I don't even care who wins the NBA championship, to anyone can win it all in the bubble. He has already flipped after a couple of games. And wait till you see what happens in August. I think we're going to have games on all the time while we're on the air. I think all throughout the next couple of months, you're going to get games all day, baseball, basketball, all over the place, I guess beginning at 11 or noon.
It's going to be interesting because you have teams who are missing certain players. You have last night in the Bucks without Eric Bledsoe. He's probably, after Giannis, their best defensive player. So you have to factor that in. He's a very good defensive point guard, but he didn't play last night. But you have teams who haven't played together in a while. They're missing certain players. The bubble really changes a lot, changes the dynamic of the NBA playoffs, where, Dan, you just don't have to go on the road and, you know, win a big game with 20,000 fans screaming in your face. And so I feel like maybe a team like the Rockets, as you saw last night, you know, beat the Bucks. I feel like a team like that could make a deep run into the NBA playoffs and perhaps find themselves in the NBA finals. I really do.
Your voice was deteriorating throughout the entirety of that take.
What?
Yeah, well, at the end, you were really petering out. You didn't have very much left in the tank at that point.
How do you guys think the officials are going to be affected by being in the bubble? Because during the playoffs with home court advantage, you know, you always expect the home team to get that advantage. I feel like in the bubble, it's just always going to go to the star. Like, I feel like LeBron James is going to get the calls in every game now as opposed to just the home game.
Well, didn't you see the end of the Bucks-Celtics game? They allowed Giannis to have like 12 fouls. He had so many fouls that he should have fouled out of the game 5 minutes earlier, and they just kept reviewing and reversing everything so that they just go to the board, and then the board would say to them, don't let him foul out.
Yeah. But, Dan, don't you think some of that's going to factor in where you don't have to go on the road to win, you know, a big game six? Like, these games are all played on neutral courts, and that's – I think it's going to balance it out a little bit, don't you?
I have no idea, Stugatz. Like, I've seen here all these people who are saying that the Toronto Raptors, that the last 3 years at this point, they have had the same record, basically, that they've been this kind of good for 3 years, and it's meant as a slight on Kawhi Leonard, or that they're just good and that we underestimated them. And they'd be right that we underestimated them. However, that team constituted that way is not going to win the title because you need a Kawhi Leonard at the end of all of these close games. They don't have that, and it's what hurt them back when they had this kind of record with DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. You need the guy at the end of these games. They're very good. There's no disputing that they're very good, and it's boring to talk about the Raptors being very good. But what you need from Kawhi Leonard is that shot against Philadelphia when there is no shot that finishes Philadelphia's season. And who do you like taking that shot for them now, like when they face all the other teams that have that guy?
It's a very good quote. Kyle Lowry, I guess. I mean, that would be the guy. To your point, the Celtics have, you know, Jason Tatum, so.
Stugatz's weekend observations are going to be in about 30 minutes, but we have been wondering, Stugatz, for many years around here. This, I believe, was my acting debut. I believe this is my only, this is the only appearance I have ever made as an actor of any kind. It is in the television show, HBO show, Ballers. They right. had a scene, one scene. I was a cigar store wooden Indian. And this is how the very early form of Ballers, this is how the back and forth went with The Rock.
How's life in the real world, Spence? You still dreaming about laying people out?
Let me tell you something, Dan. Right now, my dreams are all about deals and dollars.
What is the end game here, though, Spence? Is it agent, broadcaster, coach?
I mean, hell, you're such a star. Why not own a damn team? Why yet?
We know the end game now, Spence. The end game is Dwayne Johnson has bought the XFL, a group including Dwayne Johnson. Spence has purchased the NFL, the NFL. That would be a more expensive purchase. $15 million for the XFL, buying it out of the bankruptcy bin.
One might say that's rock bottom. What?
That was supportive glue guy. That was supportive glue guy. Insincere. Chris was being a glue guy there. He did not think that was funny. Look at how red his face is. That's more red than it usually is.
Here's the thing about Stugatz that you need to understand, though, and this is a spoiler alert. That's one of the weekend observations, and he knows that's one of the weekend observations, but he wants the laughs, so he's undercutting himself, stealing his own jokes to get the laughs.
I mean, audience turnover, Bill. A lot of people will be hearing that for the first time in a half hour. How about that? A little Radio 101.
Billy, would you be kind enough in the present setting, would you be kind enough to always peel back the curtain on Stugatz until Mike gets back? Just do that every time so people can find out what a bleep hole he is. Yes, Chris.
Stugatz is like a running back, and when he sees that hole open up for that joke, he says, "Weekend observations be damned. I got to hit that hole like the running back."
Exactly. I got plenty of observations.
What?
Plenty of observations is what I was trying to say, slurring my words on a Monday morning.
He's a professional broadcaster. He just put 4 or 5 Z's in the word observation. That is absolutely how that would have been said by somebody who'd had half a bottle too much bourbon on a Friday night with their forehead on the floor of the bar. How are you that bad? How are you that bad a half hour into Monday?
Listen, I don't know if it's just a half hour into Monday. I've been this bad for a long time. There's a lot of hard work that goes in to being this bad. And I got to tell you, having heard that back, that little clip with you and The Rock, there was really an acting career there for you. I mean, you were pretty good in your lone acting appearance. You really were.
I was not. That scene took about 11 hours to film. I was scared and I was stiff, but the thing that I wanted to tell the audience again, because I don't think many people know this story. Stugatz and I were supposed to be whatever the Jay Glazer character became. Now, Glazer was much less a cigar store wooden Indian than I was, and so they probably just kept writing script around him because Glazer is a natural actor. He went in there, all bravado, a bowling ball full of butcher knives. He just rolled through there. I'm a bigger star than Dwayne Johnson, and he owned the thing. But, and this is a continuing trend since then of ESPN executives just getting in our way. What ended up happening is we were supposed to do the first, you and me, we're supposed to do the first episode of, I believe, season 2, where there's a fight between Terrell Suggs and Ndamukong Suh on the set of a television show. That was supposed to be here. They came and took the measurements. It was going to be laugh out loud funny because those three human beings in this particular janitor's closet, we would have been running into each other.
Yeah.
But the whole thing fell apart because a guy who is now, I believe, the Syracuse athletic director said, we don't want this link between ESPN and a show the NFL doesn't like. And so Stugatz and I, we could have already been soaring through Hollywood as giant Jay Glazer stars, but the Syracuse athletic director got in our way.
John Wildhack is his name. And let's take it easy on him. Syracuse, one of the schools interested in my daughter, Rachel. I mean.
Okay. Well, I'm not the one who named him. I mean, I didn't give him a name.
I cannot believe I remember the name.
He's the one who got in the way of you and The Rock. Like, you realize you would have been in Sylvester Stallone's house with Al Pacino and Guy Fieri. It would have been you.
Oh, Wildhack, go to hell. I
mean, awkward transition. Time for some ads.
Wildhack, go to hell.
It's a joke.
And say hello to Art Briles when you get there. Time now for Stugatz's weekend observations times two. Some of these might be dated, but Stugatz likes to reheat stuff.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase only at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Dan, I gotta be honest. At this juncture, I don't know what's back and what's not.
Wow.
Back.
Wow.
Jason Kipnis is a Cub. Ryan Fitzpatrick said over the weekend, this past weekend, he knows he's just a placeholder for Tua. Has anyone held more places in NFL history than Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Wait a minute. How are these observations working? Are you swinging wildly back and forth between last weekend and this weekend?
Exactly.
All right.
That should be the name of his position. Placeholder. 8 Patriots have now opted out for the season. Had no idea they were taking the Brady news so badly. We have a new leader for the least shocking headline of the year. Mike Ditka says kneeling athletes should get the hell out of the country.
Yeah. Chris, can you tell Stugatz whatever it is that you just mouthed there? Did you want him to speed it up?
Why is he reading so slow?
That's a good point. If no one but the Jets wanted to play football this fall in the AFC East, they would still figure out a way to lose the division. I hate them. Meanwhile, if the only Chief to show up every Sunday was Patrick Mahomes, they'd still go 13-3. I read the headline that the Mets couldn't find Yoenis Cespedes in Atlanta. Had no reaction, and just kept moving along with my day.
They couldn't find him, and you're so broken, so broken as a Mets fan, that you're like, yeah, whatever.
Dr. Fauci, don't quit your day job. Let me tell you something. Doc Gooden, you are not. Dr. K.
Wow, that's a weekend observation from two Fridays ago. That's Dr. Fauci's first pitch. Okay, I was hoping that we'd know when. Okay, never mind.
That was two weekends ago.
Yeah, thank you.
He was Dr. K.
Yeah.
You are Dr. F. And by the way, enough horsing around to get back to fixing this pandemic. Jose Altuve is batting 158 so far this season. Hashtag karma. Alex Bregman batting 211 so far this season. Hashtag ball don't lie. Lou Williams, one of the best six men to ever play the game. Jack Harlow, one of the worst wingmen to ever play the game.
Wow, that's an old, musty observation.
Here's another one. Lou Williams trying to make it sound like he went to the strip club strictly for the food. Lou, the Stugatz is strong in you. Lou Gatz. Here's a joke I told 30 minutes ago. Dwayne Johnson purchased the XFL for $15 million, Dan. One might say he got it at a rock bottom price.
Better that time. The joke better than the way you delivered it 30 minutes ago.
Hurricane. How do you pronounce this hurricane? It was confusing all weekend. ECAS? I mean, what is it?
Just keep it moving.
Bust. Should have been called Hurricane Kwame Brown. What happened there? Quick Stan Van Gundy Twitter update.
Jesus.
This is the last couple of weeks. I'm sorry.
He is just on a rampage.
Since joining in July, he has tweeted 22,000 times. No. 21,990 of those tweets have not been about sports.
No, that can't be true. That number cannot be right.
Perhaps I play with the numbers a bit. The PGA Championship is this weekend. Brooks Koepka has won the event two consecutive years. If somebody else wins, they should not only have to win the tournament, but rip the trophy out of Koepka's hands. Two first-round picks for a safety going back two weekends ago? When did the Jets become smart? Dan, it's official. This applies to last weekend, this weekend, and every weekend moving forward. I am embarrassed to live in Florida.
Oh, my God. It's so embarrassing.
I know. Of course, a minor league organization is the one that jeopardizes the Major League Baseball season. How about everyone do me a favor? TV networks, sport leagues, Steph Curry, leave Dr. Fauci alone and let him work. Dr. F. But before you do that, check out last Thursday's episode of ESPN Daily with Pablo Torre to hear his exclusive interview with Dr. F. Great get. I'm not sure if Adam Silver is this great at his job or if anyone would look this smart if they were the NBA commissioner at the same time that Rob Manfred was the Major League Baseball commissioner. The NBA announced that they are starting a community COVID-19 testing program in Orlando. Or in other words, exactly what I said they should do 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Stugatz was right.
That's right.
Holy Stugatz was right.
Speaking of things I said that were right, TJ Warren. What Dan doesn't realize is TJ Warren on any given night can light you up for 45 points. Oh, I love it. Justin Smoke is a brewer? Oh. The Smoke Monster. The Brew Crew. Oliver Perez is still pitching. Clayton Kershaw. This is this past weekend.
Yes.
Do it in the postseason. 1 minute the season is over, the next minute he's a fighter, and they will finish the season. Dan, you know what Rob Manfred is doing? He's not only making it up as he goes along, but he's also flying by the seat of his pants. Quick question, I'm serious.
It's such a great phrase. Can you imagine flying by the seat of your pants? Like if you were Peter Pan on a wire, it's just a wire. It would be crazy, right? If you were flying by the seat of your pants, you would have no control over that. Yeah.
Exhilarating. To own a Peloton or Nordic Track bike, is it required you own a sick corner apartment in the city that has big, beautiful windows? Tom Coughlin fractured his ribs and punctured a lung in a bike accident. He's doing well, recovering in the hospital after doctors rubbed some dirt on both. Aaron Rodgers foresees a split from the Packers. That escalated quickly.
It really did.
God bless Mike Sando for ignoring everything and releasing his quarterback tears. The Dodgers starting pitchers are already being placed. Three of them already have been placed on the injured reserve list. Dan, you know what that means, of course.
No, I don't. They're mashing it.
It means Dodger pitchers are dropping like flies.
Oh, okay.
10,000 plus COVID cases per day, and DeSantis wants to open bars. Do me a favor. I've got a great spot for you. A little hole in the wall I like to call hell. Pull up a chair next to Art Briles. When you get there, say hello for me. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Are you bummed that Men's Warehouse just declared bankruptcy? There are things happening, Stugatz, in this country that simply were not foreseeable as recently as like 6 or 7 months ago. The idea that Men's Warehouse would look up one day and say, wait a minute, no one has any needs to buy suits because no one's wearing suits to work like this. There are so many companies that cannot imagine what has happened and had no preparation because how could you for the last 8 months? But of course, suits aren't selling right now. Like, why would anybody other than someone who's got to be on First Take have to go get a suit? Because First Take is like the only place where they're requiring suits.
Right. It's obviously no one could foresee this coming. And on the flip side of that, the free weight industry had no idea. Like, the boom they were about to experience and still are experiencing is absolutely crazy. Same with hand sanitizer and stuff like that. So it's worked both ways, but you have to feel terrible for some place like Men's Warehouse, who had a very good business going, and then it's gone just like that.
You want to know a business that's booming right now, Stugatz? The making of Major League Baseball. I was listening to a broadcast the other day, and I thought I didn't hear them correctly because they were saying that team was going through 150 dozen baseballs a day. 150 dozen because no baseball can be touched more than three times. It's got to go out of play now because of all of the protocols that are in place. So imagine how many baseballs they're going through. And then, Stugatz, something I heard last night in the middle of a Red Sox-Yankee game that was about 27 months long and made me wish for baseball to go back away, even as Aaron Judge and Stanton are hitting, you know, monster home runs. I couldn't believe the number that was thrown at me. On average, if you watch a Major League Baseball game today, you will see 18 strikeouts. Eight,
what?
On average. On average.
Wow. I mean,
right?
You would think the games would be quicker. I mean,
this is such a brutal blow for baseball, the idea that you can go innings at a time without anyone making contact. It's such a weird evolution in that sport that has made it less watchable, Stugatz, even with home runs. The idea that it's just this all or nothing stuff where you're watching a game and so many guys are coming into the game throwing 98 with, you know, filthy movement that even major league hitters aren't good enough to make contact regularly. Because that stunned me because they were talking about it on the telecast and they're like saying, Yankees, Red Sox, so far we've had 16 strikeouts in this game. We're probably going to meet the daily average of a baseball game. I really was floored. I thought I heard it wrong. I haven't even double checked it. Did I hear it wrong? Because I find it hard to believe that we're up to, and I know it's not 18 per team, but that you watch a Major League Baseball game and on average the number of strikeouts you're going to see is going to be as high as 18, just as an average. It's crazy.
I'm checking on it. I don't. It sounds on the surface to me, it sounded like that's way too many. But in today's Major League Baseball, I mean, who knows? I'm checking on that number for you. But
well, let me head somewhere else conversationally here because I do think we've neglected a bit of sports news that happened over the weekend that I found a bit jarring and hugely interesting. We've been saying for a while around here that the only way that the systemic injustice of the NCAA sort of trafficking on athlete bodies in basketball and football, that the only way that changes is if the players sit out games.
Mm-hmm.
If the players sit out important money-making games, and there's never been a situation, Stugatz, that I can recall in my lifetime where college players actually had a leverage that they could use. They've largely been helpless. You have seen recently with controversies in Iowa and Clemson and Florida State where the players are finally feeling, no, now is a time I can speak about how helpless and powerless I have felt, and I'm going to tell you some stories about how the coaches have treated us like cattle and dehumanized us. They have the power to do that. But this next step that the Pac-12 just took by writing in the Players' Tribune a story, hashtag We Are United, I have never seen a school of players threaten the power in this way, where they are formalizing in written form, we demand this or we will not play. And part of it is a little hard, okay? This has always been a difficult subject in order to find solutions. So you can't do it the way that they have asked for it to be done because you can't eliminate women's sports. You can't violate Title IX. There are certain ramifications that haven't necessarily been considered, but the idea that players would feel powerful enough to go to the Pac-12 and point out, we will not play unless we get this and this and this, that's real power, Stugatz, and I can't recall another time that the players have actually had it. I don't think it's an empty threat. I think they are in a position that they have leverage because we all understand, wait a minute, it can't be unpaid labor taking risks that students aren't taking as employees of your university, because they're basically employees in a way students aren't, and they're saying, no, we ain't playing unless you change these things, these big substantive things, like cutting, you know, the salary of the Pac-12 commissioners, Stugatz. I don't know if you saw this tweet here from Chris Murphy, but he says, Pac-10 commissioner Larry Scott makes $5.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
If the only reform was to make his salary $450,000, still a top 1% salary, every football player in the conference could get an annual $5,000 stipend to help their families with rent, health care, food, etc. If the only change made was the salary going to the guy at the top of the commissioner pyramid.
Reduced down to a mere $450,000 from $5.3 million, which is a hefty pay cut, by the way. I will throw in there, but 5.3 is probably too much. Dan, it's a combination. It took all these events to realize, for college players to realize, hey, I've got a lot of power here, okay? But it also took them seeing guys in the NFL who are dropping out over concerns over this world pandemic, the coronavirus, their own health, their family's health. They're getting paid millions of dollars. And college athletes, football players in particular, are saying, hey, if that guy making $16 million doesn't want to play because he's concerned, why should I go out there and play for free and not get any of the stuff that we want as college athletes? It's crazy.
Chris Cody has fined me in the chat for calling it the Pac-10 instead of the Pac-12. But what do I do with the fact that this is Chris Murphy's fault? He called it the Pac-10 in the tweet. Is the fine mine, Chris Cody? Or is it Chris Murphy's? Because I thought...
Judges? That's your fine, Dan.
That's still a fine for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Raindrop, drop top, time to read the script for a hot spot.
Thank you, Roy, for being a voice of support. But I think Chris is right. So you are alone on an island on that one. I do have to fix that myself. Time now for the Baron Davis Show with Dan Lebatard and the homie, Baron Davis, with us on ESPN Radio. We've got a number of different questions. Believe it or not, there are things that he has to promote that he forgot to promote when he was on with us on Friday. Yeah, a conversation series. We need to get to that. But first, Barron, thank you for joining us again. There is some real confusion here. There are some arguments breaking out about whether that puppet show church that you that promoted last Friday, whether that's real or not. So help us out here. We don't know whether you're pulling our leg or whether it's a real thing.
First of all, how about a good morning? You know what I mean? This is my show.
Rude.
Good morning, Barron. Welcome to your show. I'm sorry I got right into it and put you right to work.
I'm so annoyed. Now I'm going to watch my movie while I'm talking to you. Because you just don't, you say hi. Good morning. Welcome to the Barron Davis Barron Guitar Show. We have Barron here. Barron, how are you? How was your weekend? Right? So I'm going to ask you a question. How was your weekend?
My weekend was exceptional. How was your weekend, Barron?
It was incredible. I hung out. I watched basketball. I had a performance. I had a show on Sunday with about 7,500 people in the park. It was incredible. You know, it was about a two-hour, you know, just a two-hour live entertainment. You know, we had about 30 puppets out there. You know, kids, adults, old folks. It was, you know, it was an incredible thing. You know, people are used to, like, Sesame Street, and I think we just, like, took it up, like, 15 notches this weekend. So I was proud of everybody who came out this weekend.
Stugatz, I'm still not sure. You're an expert liar. Can you tell us whether Barron Davis is lying or not about the fact that 7,500 people gathered for a puppet show in Los Angeles?
I can now confirm that he is lying. There is no way that anyone allowed 7,500 people to gather together, even for a Barron Davis puppet show, in the middle of a world pandemic. It's not happening, Dan. He is lying right now.
Yeah, I just said 7,500. I said it's 7,500. And basically, what I was saying was we live streamed. So it was actually quarantined. There was 50 people there, and the 75 was on live. They came live streamed through one of my apps. So, you know, lying is such a harsh word. I think you
right.
Okay, so wait a minute.
Sorry, he asked me the question.
But if he's lying, he's now changed the lie, and he's pivoted the way that you would. So you're saying many people were there virtually. What can you tell us about this puppet show that we're still not sure existed?
Oh, man, you know, it was just, you know, I looked at what Kanye was doing with Sunday Service, and, you know, I was like, man, I want to, you know, do something similar. I want to bring people together. And, you know, a lot of times it's hard, you know, like, to follow a person. You know what I mean? And you know, like take, for instance, like Kanye, you know, he had the Sunday Service people follow him. But sometimes Kanye go off, you know what I mean, and he go the wrong way. And so I thought if I had a puppet, you know what I mean, the puppets can never disappoint you, man. And they can always say the right thing. So we know, you know, we're going to have consistency when it comes to, you know, working together and entertaining people, especially with these puppets. You know, just trying to reinvent the game right now.
What are the puppets of? Give us some names of the puppet. Give us some characters, because we're still confused as to whether or not this happened.
One of the puppets is Lil Peanut. He like the usher, and he, you know, he escorts people in. We got Delilah. She's on the organ. We got Francois. Francois is usually like the person who makes sure, you know, he's taking your tickets to make sure you do have a ticket and you did pay. Then we got the Bomb Brothers, and they are the security. They work at a security. And then, you know, a couple other, like, you know, teddy bears and things like that. They don't really say nothing. Little sharks. And, you know, I got my shark dog. My shark dog is there.
All right, Chris, help me out here, because Billy and Chris, they're doing the same thing they did on Friday, where the interview went into the toilet and they were struggling and making faces and stuff, and then we kept riding it. How are you feeling about how things are going right now, Chris?
oh, things are going fantastic. I'm going back and forth on whether this is a real thing or not. I'm leaning now towards he's telling the truth. Those were specific details.
Billy, where are you on this right now?
I mean, I'm trying to Google Delilah Baron Davis puppet, see if I find anything. And to be honest with you, I don't want to know if it's real or not. I just like the story.
Same here. I'm with Billy. It's going exactly the way Baron wants it to go.
Yeah, well, this is what happens around here. Okay, let's go back to Black Santa, because you shocked us last week when all of a sudden you said, yeah, I trademarked Black Santa. What's the back? I need all of the backstory here, and I want to know how much are you changing minds with Black Santa?
So, you know, Black Santa is real. I trademarked, you know, the character, one, because I wanted, you know, I wanted a Santa Claus that represented me or a Santa Claus that my kids could relate to. And, you know, just kind of, you know, for me, sometimes I do a lot of research, right? I do a lot of reading, and I start researching, like, origin history of Santa Claus. And what I found was every time that there was a depiction of the Santa Claus that was black, that either he had a 40-ounce in his hand, or, you know, he had his shirt off with a bunch of chains. You know, it was never, like, something or someone that had a positive, you know, view. But so I was like, man, I mean...
Hold on a second, Baron, because hold on a second. You're going in and out on us. You were saying that every depiction that you had seen of a black Santa was stereotypical. Let's see if we can get this line fixed. Can you hear us all right?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sorry about that. That was my shark dog.
What? You don't do that to your co-host.
finish the Black Santa. So you decided to have a more positive appraisal of him.
Yeah, more positive. Yeah, because I wanted, you know, one, kids in the inner city, and, you know, just growing up as a kid, you were taught, like, you know, you ain't going to get enough for Christmas if you keep acting bad. And then, you know, some Christmases you don't get anything, and you think because you were bad, but it's really because of the lack of resources, right? When you're growing up, you know, on welfare. And so with Black Santa, I was like, man, he should be for all kids, right? And it's not about kids being naughty or nice, you know, because a lot of times it could be their circumstances. And so I wanted to rewrite kind of like the spirit of a character that that embodied like all the good qualities around the holidays, right? And having him black, to me, was a great way to kind of unstitch the scar tissue that we're taught from the time that we're kids. So if my kids can have, you know, a Santa Claus that's jolly, friendly, on time, you know, gift-giving, positive, always has great things to say, you know, and he can see that, and that person looks like him, then I think other kids start to see and buy into the same thing. Right. And it doesn't become a black and white thing. It just becomes Santa Claus in a person. Right. And it's a great way for, you know, me to start to create characters and storytelling for, you know, the African-American, the brown community, and start to really celebrate our culture and celebrate who we are, instead of waiting for, like, you know, a lot of the bigger companies, like, you know, the Disneys of the world to, you know, produce, you know, another, you know, Black Panther or Moana or Coco, right? Those come every 4 or 5 years. So I wanted to do something where we can continue in the spirit and basically build a brand of positivity around positivity and togetherness.
What are you doing with him? Like, when you trademark him, then how do you make Black Santa be more pervasive?
Yeah, so we started in animation. We wrote our own Night Before Christmas. You know, we animated the character. We had mascots last year. Over the last 3 years, you know, we would do, you know, all kind of, you know, charity giving, you know, selling merchandise, wrapping Christmas trees. So it was really about having, you know, the power of a mascot, right? When you think about Disneyland and those characters walking around, imagine having a mascot that actually brings kids computers. You know what I mean? Imagine having a mascot that when he show up, kids see opportunity and they can buy culture.
We will come back with Baron Davis. We've got more to get to with him. We'll do so in a second. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is it funny that the guy who refused to kneel immediately blew out his knee at Le Batard's show? Because many of you are laughing at this, even though it seems unfortunate. Speaking of laughing at things that are unfortunate, I want to take people back here to what is happening on the air and off the air, because we are howling at how disruptive and awkward Baron Davis is about not answering our questions. But we're howling and also wincing because it's, I see Billy and I see Chris, and the red sweeps over their faces. Like it, they are cringing as they listen to this. But Billy, you also can't stop laughing. You're a weird combination of all teeth and all red.
I think he's been killing it. I mean, I got a good answer about his best example of collaboration and teams. So I was happy with how that went.
All right. Nice job by you twisting the words around, Bill. I mean,
And Chris, your face, though, your face as you back away from the camera and the microphone, you look a combination of scared and ashamed.
It's because it's so entertaining and I don't think it's good. So it's like, I don't know where the space is. It's like, oh, it's not,
Chris,
not giving.
Chris,
it's
like, please be clear on this. It's garbage. it is not in any way good, but it's funny.
Yeah, but sometimes garbage can be entertaining. And Baron Davis, for the second consecutive day, is producing entertaining garbage in a way I've never seen anyone else do it. It's amazing.
Look at Oscar the Grouch. He's made a whole career of that.
There you go.
All right. No, I've got something for you, Billy. I've got something for your contributions today. No, listen to this, Stugatz. I want you to listen to Billy earlier in the show trying to get out a thought, and you tell me what he was trying to say here as the voices in his head argued with each other.
Can we just also, I mean, not to, I don't want to, you know, be blaming him here.
Okay, I want you to hear all of the conflicting Billy voices running into each other at an intersection.
Can we just also, I mean, not to, I don't want to, you know, be blaming him here. We briefly touched on this today in the local hour, Dan, because I get a lot of criticism about, you know, the way I present myself and the way I present my thoughts, right? And this is what I tell to people who have an issue with it. That's what it's always like in my head, all right? So I'm sorry if for like 30 seconds a day you get it. I live with it 24 hours
all right,
a day.
So here's, all right? Here's what you need to understand, because I'm surprised there wasn't a by the way here. And I don't know where the also got there, because there was nothing before the also, but here it is.
Can we just also, I mean, not to, I don't want to, you know, be blaming him here.
It's got like a rhythmic kind of deal to it. It's
a rhythmic insanity wrapped in a rhythmic neuroses meant to annoy me that can't get a thought out efficiently.
Can we just also, I mean, not to, I don't want to, you know, be blaming him here.
at Le Batard Show on Twitter, if you want to vote on the polls, we've got some polls to update here. Also, we got to get to funniest thing from the sports weekend. What are the polls you have at Le Batard Show, Stugatz?
The Twitter poll at Le Batard Show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
All right, at Le Batard Show on Twitter. Go back to a few from last Friday, because we need to clean those up. They're very important. Does Buck Cherry sound like a soda? 82% of the audience said yes. Now, this is a big one on Friday. Is pineapple a dessert? 72% of the audience said no. Does Adam Schefter watch TV? 74% of the audience said no. Who prints more money a year, Monopoly or the U.S. government? 55% of the audience said the U.S. government.
They're wrong, right? You said it's a fact that Monopoly prints more money than the U.S. government.
They are wrong, yes. Scrolling up here, scrolling up, Larry Bird, Tomato, Van Gundy, who won't stop tweeting. If you're ever wondering what Stan Van Gundy is up to when he's not calling a basketball game, he's on Twitter. Why is First Take making everyone wear suits in their houses? It's a good question by Dan. 64% of the audience said yes. What do fans of this show enjoy more? Stugatz being right, Dan being wrong. 70% of the audience said Dan being wrong. Is it funny that the guy who refused to kneel immediately blew out his knee? Now, this is early voting, Dan, but 100% of the audience is saying yes.
All right. Very good. Thank you for that, Stugatz. You can vote on the polls at Lebatard Show on Twitter. There is a guy on Twitter, Stugatz, coming after me saying, Lebatard on TJ Warren, you got to eat the crow. You got to eat all of it. Eat all the crow. Don't leave a little foot. Don't leave anything. Just eat the crow. So here it is again. TJ Warren, again, the first time that he touched a basketball in public after I said that he was not someone that could give you 45 points any given night. This was the back and forth Stugatz and I had as I eat all the crow. I know Miami cares about that. Mike, I know it was contentious. I know it was wonderful. And again, it's TJ Warren.
Man, I was alerted to the fact that TJ Warren is playing Jimmy Butler twice in 1 week. Thanks to Rachel Nichols, who hosts The Jump, which is a national show. This, all the hostility coming to a head twice in 1 week. This is a major plot line. If you're not invested in the regular season component of this NBA bubble, I just gotcha.
And what Dan doesn't realize is TJ Warren on any given night can light you up for 45 points.
I need, because this show can be whack-a-mole sometimes, I need to put these things on the poll at Lebatard Show. Is TJ Warren ever involved in what Mike Ryan described as a major storyline? And... because you're not going to skate on this one either, Stugatz.
Oh, boy.
Can TJ Warren give you 45 points any given night?
I'm guessing TJ Warren has never scored 45
points. I don't know
points.
Why you did that. I really have no earthly... I have no earthly... Can you look up the career high for me on TJ Warren as you say TJ Warren can give you 45? Because I'm going to go the opposite on that. I'm going to say TJ Warren can't give you 45 on any given night.
Show me the money.
Again, TJ Warren, 53 points this weekend in a single game. Only took 4 free throws, so he didn't get them cheap. And also had never made more than 4 threes in a game, decided to make 9 to embarrass me.
Hey, you were right at the time because he had plenty of given nights and his career high was 40.
but then I was wrong on any given night. 2 points of clarification for the audience, Stugatz, because as you know, but many don't, our Twitter polls are meant to mock Twitter polls that are done by sports radio shows. And the other bit of clarification that I feel the need to offer, because I thought I made this clear earlier, but perhaps I didn't, I don't find it funny that people are making karma jokes about a Magic player many of us had never heard of before this weekend when he got out in front of everybody, decided not to kneel for the anthem, explained it very poorly, and then, despite not kneeling, blew out his knee. I want to make it clear to those listening that that is not my construct. That is something that I just saw happening a great deal over the course of the weekend. I'm not inventing a straw man there. There was a player for the Orlando Magic that many of us did not know very much about him, and he decided to be the one contrarian who stood for the anthem, the only black player in the NBA to stand for the anthem. And when he explained it afterward, he tucked it inside the Bible, and it didn't make a lot of sense what he was saying. And I actually understood people making fun of him there, but then to make the leap, the karmic leap to see what God does when you don't believe in equality, I just didn't find it funny. That's all. And so that's why we're asking the question. Let's lighten it up around here a little bit. Let's do funniest thing from the sports weekend.
Hey, people, tell us what in the sport made you laugh hardest this weekend. It is a segment we call What Made You Laugh This Weekend. Ha, ha, ha.
Funniest thing for the sports weekend is brought to you by Dell. Dell supports Small Business Month with savings up to 45% on computers with Intel Core processors. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Stugatz, what would you nominate as the funniest thing from the entire sports weekend? What is it that you have for us?
I love the Braves' Ronald Acuna Jr. granting himself a fanless curtain call after homering on Saturday. It's funny.
All right. Billy, does he have a responsibility, having lived long as he has in Miami, to pronounce Acuna correctly?
Who am I to say how to pronounce that? I can't speak.
Roy, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
In one of its games during the weekend, the National Hockey League announced that its official attendance was zero.
Yeah, there was a good amount of that throughout sports. Tony, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
TJ Warren scoring 53 points.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, in my face. Chris, funniest thing from the sports weekend?
The Mariners, they had a noise meter with no fans, and the noise meter was going up, so that was ridiculous. And they had a Steve Bartman cardboard cutout right where he sat at Wrigley Field.
We've got to get Stugatz on one of these. We got to do it in baseball, too. We got to get Stugatz's face in there with the digital fans and the cardboard fans.
I think we're shooting for next week, Billy, is the Heat-Pacers game. It's the Heat playing TJ Warren. A week from today.
Yes.
That's got to be the game.
You should be wearing like a Pacers jersey or something.
Exactly. The wheels, Dan, are already in motion for Stugatz getting in Monday night's digital crowd. I don't know if it's going to happen or not
yet. All right. Very good. That's all we do is wheels in motion. And then what happens? We sink into the quicksand. We talk about it a whole bunch. We don't go anywhere. And then we just drown. And it's three straight days of Baron Davis promoting things.
Well, in this particular case, we will call you last minute and ask you to call a favor into the Heat. I mean, that's what we'll do.
That's probably what will end up happening. Yes. Guillermo, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
It was Tomato Larry Bird, Dan. Tomato Larry Bird. For those of you who don't know, there was a tomato, and he looked like Larry Bird. Or she, I guess. I don't know what tomatoes are.
I don't know. The tomato also looked like an old Ukrainian grandma wearing a headscarf. Yes, it was a tomato that looked like Larry Bird. I don't know if you saw this Mavs game, Stugatz, but the Mavs have been terrible in close games. They're like, they got the worst record in the league or something in games decided by 3 points. But there was just one play during their game over the weekend where Luka put a jumper up from distance, and it was a total air ball, and the ball just landed in the giant hands of Boban, who was just trying, you know, Ricky Rubio was pathetically trying to box him out by sticking all of that greasy Antonio Banderas hair in his crotch. But Boban, it wasn't even over the back, because Boban was just standing there next to the rim. And because he's a mutant, I mean, with a possible pituitary problem and a John Wick hero, that we just see him catch the ball. And if you watch the play, I felt so bad for Ricky Rubio, because his hair could not have smelled good after that. caught in Boban's nether region.
That was your thought? Poor Rubio.
Yeah, poor Rubio. That hair, as if it weren't greasy enough, now it's got some Boban undercarriage in it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened. Speaking of undercarriages, we didn't have time for this, but a Blue Jay, you see this catcher? The catcher, Reese McGuire, caught in a strip mall pleasuring himself. That's right. You see what happens when you don't let the Blue Jays have a home?
We will talk to you mañana. This was the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
Can we just also, I mean, not to, I don't want to